No, I'm not on yet. Did I? That's better. So, last year has been an amazing year in Samba, and in particular in Samba replication. So, it really has been the year of replication in Samba 4, and I thought I would give a little bit of a talk about what we've done, and then a demo, and then hopefully lots of questions, given that was so popular last year. I now work for Cisco Systems, but I don't speak for them. These views are mine, and in respect to the Samba team, don't ask me questions about what Cisco's doing with all this. That's not something I can really chat about. But it's been a pleasure to work with them on Samba 4 development. And I know I have some of my Samba colleagues in the audience, Yorma Vinoise in the front, and I saw Jeremy Ellison wandering up the stairs, so presumably he's in here somewhere. So I've been developing Samba for 9 years now, it seems. I have to keep counting. So I've been one of the lead developers on the Samba 4 project for last four or so of them, I think. That's been great fun. So I've managed to find companies that have allowed me to work full-time on Samba 4. And that's been a true pleasure. And one thing is that while I can't see you all very well due to this dazzling amount of lights up here, I really do want questions during the talk. I'd much rather this talk was drastically sidetracked by someone's question than I actually get to the end of my slides. I also have a demo at the end, which means there's plenty of padding, and without questions, it's going to get rather boring. So what are we talking about when we're talking about Samba 4? I'm not really talking about some of the other things it can do. It's got a file server in it and a few other things. I'm talking about domain control, being an Active Directory compatible domain controller in every sense of that. Until we can do everything, there will be problems with deploying it into the enterprise. So we now do replication of users and groups. We don't yet have the file system replication protocols that go with Active Directory. There are other ways we can skin that cat if we need to. But replication of users and groups is absolutely critical to any real use of Samba or any domain controller. And it's not just... here we're talking about between domain controls. We're not talking about situations where you may wish to replicate data, for example, from a HR management system into the directory or replicating out into some other management system. We're talking about the domain controller to domain controller replication, particularly of passwords, because traditionally that has been the area where all the other solutions have been weakest. For example, you can go and buy numerous products which will claim to replicate to and from AD, and as soon as you ask them, okay, and how do you handle the passwords, it's Or the better answer is, please install this piece of software on every one of your domain controllers, and it pretends to be a password quality filter. These aren't good answers. These are not satisfactory answers for the enterprise. We want Samba to be safer to deploy. It's not really safe yet. Is any software safe? But we want it to be safer. We want Samba 4 to be able to be in a cluster of multiple domain controllers. We want Samba 4 to be an extra domain controller on the side of your network. Without good bidirectional replication windows, we cannot be those things. And how many here enjoy having single points of failure on your network? Julian's game. So when I spoke to you last, Samba 4 was useful. I tried to drum up all sorts of interest. I didn't get any, but I tried to. But it was really only suitable for greenfield sites, or a site with only one domain controller, or someone who was really willing to cut and run. So that's not very many of you, as far as I could tell, because cut and run is really, really dangerous. And you can keep testing it out and things, but we all had for a long time the technology to vampire an existing Active Directory domain, preserving all the attributes and things. That all sort of worked. You then go and shut down your very last Active Directory domain controller, start up Samba 4, and then turn on the clients. And you'd hope everything worked, because if it didn't, as soon as one of those domain member servers changes its password, as soon as a user changes their password, as soon as anything starts changing the directory, then you're out of sync. If you were to go back to Windows, start all the windows back up, decide this was a really bad idea, and I hope my management didn't notice, you'd have to go to any of those things that changed to make sure that they were updated again. For example, go back to users and say, you changed your password. Can you change it again? Remember what you had before and change it again? And they go, okay. And similarly, machines. So you'd have to go and rejoin them and things. There wasn't a way to say, okay, look, this isn't really working out well for us, but we want to send those changes back into the main record of the domain. And we'll just leave the SAMR thing alone for a bit and we'll try again later. We didn't have that possibility. Now, as of Alpha 11, we can do that. We have SAMR is much more suitable for these existing domains because we can join into the bidirectional replication stream. And so that means that we can then turn back off a SAMR 4 domain controller and everything else in the network should still keep working. Now, it's still possible that SAMR may write incorrect data and replicate it to your replication partners. So it's not foolproof. We're working on some things that will be one level safer than this again. But at least it's an improved situation. Last year, I sort of fudged over the question of replication because we had things like the LDAP backend. And it works really, really well for a situation where you don't want to talk to Windows at all. Except in LDAP, there's no transactions. So if we go to modify two things in the directory, and we need to make sure they were modified at exactly the same time, we can't actually do that. And it only works for those greenfield sites, those sites that are willing to completely build their new network from scratch. So while the LDAP backend is an excellent piece of technology, and it's something that Red Hat will be using, for example, in one of their projects, Free IPA, it's not really the focus of the SAMR team in terms of where to store our data. The best place to store our data really has to be in our own local directory that is where we can enforce our own transactions and where we've got control of the stacks top to bottom. I know it's very much not invented here syndrome and all sorts of things like that, but we've found that it is what we need for the moment. Which brings us to DRS replication. The Directory Replication Service. It's all a bit recursive here, but native replication in Windows. Supported in both directions and supported with SAMR providing the initial seed or from your existing Windows domain. When we started working on this, we only had the ability to have Windows as the seed. And so you could go Windows to SAMR, and eventually we got Windows to SAMR to Windows. But we have worked in the last few months to the stage where we now have SAMR to Windows, and it fully accepts that we can actually start an Active Directory forest with the information that we have collected in our source tree. And that's enough to generate up everything that the Windows domain controls need to operate. So this allows, for example, if you found that you had a particular application that needed to have a Windows server in your domain, perhaps there was something it needed that a tool needed to run on a domain controller or something, you can add that to the existing SAMR domain. It also makes our testing a lot easier. And so that's what I'm going to be giving you a demo of in not very long now, because I'm running through these slides too fast. I want questions. Come on. Okay, questions. Good.
Just a quick one, and forgive my ignorance. There are multiple versions of Active Directory.
Mm-hmm.
Which version are you talking about being able to replicate to?
We currently have replicated with Windows 2003, 2008, and 2008 R2. We don't yet implement all the functions that each of those levels of Active Directory supports. There's lots of things that come when you say, I am one of these. And a lot of these we just don't do, but we've done enough of them that those three products do actually replicate from us correctly.
Cool.
There's a large amount of work still to do, but...
All this replication, bidirectional replication, how does this relate, if at all, to CTDB and clustering?
The bidirectional replication with DRS isn't at all related to CTDB and clustering. It's a distributed database where each one keeps its own separately maintained copy, and where it really is properly distributed. It can be distributed across an email link, which is quite different to the very tight clustered model that CTDB has to maintain, because it's trying to present as one single server in a data model that wasn't intended to be replicable. And so, no, they're very, very, very different and not connected at all.
So can you cluster SAMP4?
There's really no need to cluster domain controllers because it's already built into the protocol that there is multiple ones and the client should choose separate domain controllers. So there's really no need to try and present them as if they are one image. And as soon as you introduce clustering, as most sysadmins who've been anywhere near it find out, the complexity rises so quickly. So if you can instead avoid it at the protocol level, then you do very well. So no, we won't be clustering SAMP4 in that way. I think we've got a question up the back, and I know you've been you've got a mic. Good. I didn't think you had a mic yet.
You say that the LDAP backend is not supported, so I guess you're going to tell us what the backend is with this system.
The backend is backed onto our local TDB files. That's the Samba's trivial database, which is does transactions and things. The other backend still exists, and we still try and keep it working, but it is shown in our recent work that it's not going to be the best backend for a lot of things we're trying to do. Julian?
So I have a SAMP4 syncing off a customer's AD in the example I'm thinking of. Can I have SAMP then do the feed into an LDAP database somewhat better than probably most of the syncing products? Albeit questions of passwords aside.
No, well, questions of passwords inclusive, that's the best bit. Is that yes, I think it'd be really, I could really imagine a situation where you had a customer and you wanted to be able to synchronize their passwords and you set up SAMP4 as an extra domain controller, perhaps a read-only DC that's allowed passwords, that's the technology Windows 2008 has, and then because you've then got it in a database that you've got full access to, you can then do what you like in terms of querying that to synchronize to your LDAP product. And as long as you're willing to change how you store your passwords in your LDAP product to a hash format that Windows uses, then you can indeed just keep having the passwords come in. And so, yes, I think that's quite a viable way of using it. Yes.
Will SAMP4 provide an LDAP service as a front end? Can I query using LDAP?
Yes. SAMP4 will and must provide an LDAP listener that behaves like the Active Directory LDAP listener. This is where some of the confusion gets in, because SAMP4 must be an LDAP server, but we also have the ability to use some existing LDAP products as a data store, but we can't have them listen on port 389 on our IP address because we need to be there. So we either bump them to a different port, or I actually tend to prefer they're hidden behind Unix main sockets. That way we make sure no one's accidentally writing to our database behind our backs.
Is that currently implemented, LDAP server?
Yeah, that's implemented, but without transactions it's not as safe. And it tends to break a bit more often than other things because it's not our primary test platform. But people do come around and keep fixing it up afterwards. And it's something I've maintained for a number of years. So I'm going to keep it around because I put a lot of work into that, but it's increasingly obvious that it's not going to be the primary use model. When we get to scalability issues that, for example, OpenLDAP really has licked, they know how to scale, we're probably going to have to learn that the hard way again because of the things we need. Or we'll go and tell Howard Chu, look, we really, really need this, and we'll see what he comes back with, which gives us some options, which is quite useful. At the moment, the local database seems to be the best one. And we can prove things right there and give folks like Howard Chu, one of the primary OpenLDAP maintainers, a really good, we need exactly these things, and that, so that he's got a spec to work to rather than just guesses. Question up the back.
You said you've got LDAP front ends. Does that also apply to Kerberos and DNS?
We have our own KDC. We use the Heimdall code base and put our own listener on it and our own back-end database, because you can't just stick a generic KDC in there because you won't get the pack, which was infamous, Microsoft's infamous addition to Kerberos, but there's a lot more details than just the pack. There's a lot of other things, the little detail changes they made. And so we're able to use... we use the Heimdall code to process the packet, and it ends up as a database query. We interpret that query and feedback the values Heimdall needs to go back to the client and attach a pack. And we handle all the sockets top to bottom, so you don't really know that there's another code base in there. It's just plugged in as a library, effectively.
And also DNS?
DNS, we look like we'll be using Bind to do that. We need the DNS server to be backed onto the LDAP server, because Microsoft replicates its DNS data using the DRS, and we can export that as LDAP. there is already plugins for Bind to talk to LDAP, and there are people working on making that work well, including Red Hat's doing some work for their free IPA project, and we're looking to try and use their work and then just customize it to talk to our schema. So that's very promising, actually, because we weren't sure. We didn't want to implement our own DNS server, if at all possible.
Do you have any Lego information on Microsoft internals or the Windows internals? Are you fully provided with the documentation?
We're provided with a lot of documentation. Jeremy Allison may will be talking a bit about some of how that works and doesn't and in his talk. Azure works quite well, but there's other things that get challenging. So we get not about the internals of Windows. We don't need their source code. We just need to know whenever it leaves, whenever it crosses the wire, we need to know what crosses the wire and why. And we do get a lot of that documentation as required by the European judgment and then Microsoft's quite expansive compliance with that. Having had to comply, they seem to have done a very good job at it. And so we've got a good working relationship with Microsoft engineers who help give us documentation and a large doc set that's now up on the web.
But that cooperation is based solely on coercion from the part of EU.
Sorry, I didn't quite get that.
Cooperation on part of the Microsoft, on their engineers. Are they willing to cooperate with you, or just because they have to?
The engineers we work with are highly cooperative because they enjoy working with us.
Okay.
The guys were telling us that this is their favourite week of the year when we came to town because we're a fun bunch of engineers who get to hang around and hack. As Jeremy heckles, there's a requirement that's set up that Microsoft has this business area that does it, but the engineers who work there are not working there begrudgingly. They seem to love what they do, and so we're very glad. And we're not usually working, say, with people in the Active Directory product group, although we can get questions put to them. There's a whole group that's dedicated to this protocol doc stuff. And so we get to work with them, and they're very, they love, they're part of the job. They've clearly chosen to work in that area. So that interaction isn't stressful. Talk to Jeremy for some of the challenges in that. So making things safe. Oh, I've got one more question.
You were saying how OpenLDAP's really done scalability well. Where's M4 at in terms of scalability at the moment?
Improving, but from a pretty shocking base. We've had some things where we've found adding 1,000 users and it was taking like forever, and they're just silly indexing bugs and things. So we've got a long way to go in that area, but at least database scalability is a known problem, and the algorithms are understood. But I can't give you speed numbers and things. We're really at the moment of trying to get things correct and handle a few thousand users without it being a problem, but running some test scripts to run it up to 100,000, just see what blows out, is some of the things that can be done at some point. We've had people write tests that do some of that, and that's said, okay, look, that taking 5 minutes is silly. It shouldn't take that long, and when we go and we clean that up. And so it's a bit reactive based on test cases that we've got in front of us. We just try and do what we can. When that becomes a big issue, then there's a kind of, people like Tridge are very good on these kind of issues. They understand the algorithms well, and I don't worry that we won't be able to solve those things. Okay, any other questions? No? Okay, so the read-only domain controller is our next task in the replication area. In Windows 2008 functional level, there is the ability to say that some of these domain controllers have got copies of the database, perhaps apart from the passwords. Although we prefer with the passwords, but they can't write those changes back. Now, the idea is that you put this thing in an insecure branch office, and when someone breaks in and potentially subverts the server, it can't break back into the corporate network. So we're... but it also means that Buggy Samba can't infect the corporate network with incorrect data. And so we like the idea of becoming something that Microsoft's own people guarantee can't break things, because otherwise it would be a security hole in their products. So that's attractive to us, and we're hoping to do that in the next few weeks. We're making some very good progress in this area. I don't believe this will be a challenge. There are remaining risks. Access control. We haven't fully locked down our LDB stack at the moment. It's actually since the last alpha we've added some controls that say, by the way, ignore the ACLs, and we need to make sure that those controls can't be then added from the network. That would be unfortunate. We could potentially mislead clients and therefore break the network by having the clients believe one thing, that believe something isn't true. For example, they could believe that there aren't any group policies, so the group policies are something different to what they really are. There could be other disasters in the Sandbefore code. This isn't perfect code, but it's a darn sight better than it was last year, and we're making some amazing progress. And it's at the stage where we do have people running Sandbefore in production. The other big risk is that if we are replicating with Windows, we've found that Windows does not do any validation whatsoever, or very little validation, of what we send it across the replication protocol. The security boundary is the forest, and anyone who's inside that forest can effectively change anything and change it to, you know, we've had bugs where we haven't sorted things the right way, and we've basically randomly renamed and scrambled a whole entry, because if it's if things aren't sorted, then the number then and it's doing a merge, and then numbers won't match up. It's very, very unhappy. Similarly, if we get some of our tables of names to numbers mixed up, it can be very, very messy, and find that you have descriptions that look like object classes and object classes that look like, you know, passwords, and, you know, not happy. Yes. And we have things to do. We have a lot of things to do. We have admin tools that we really don't have. We have multi-domain forests. We don't yet do any... It's just one domain per forest at the moment. We're just now getting some tools to handle role management, things like saying, I wish to become the RID master, I wish to become the PDC emulator and things. But these things need a fair bit more work to get done. DNS, I talked about our thoughts in the way we would make the domain name server and back that onto everything we need. But at the moment, all we can do is generate up a static zone file and put it into start once. As soon as you add another domain controller, you have to manually edit the file or use a... Trig has hacked up a script for me that'll automatically do it for my demo. But it's not something you can put into production. And we have a very, very long list of to-do items that we put on the wiki. We've got a DRS to-do list on the wiki, which we're using to track some of these little tasks that we're doing. We should put things in Bugzilla, but this seems it's just a bit easier for a bit of a list of things that we've come across when we're hacking, and we know that we need to get done. As the question was before, as to which versions of the domain controller we interoperate with, these are the three that we've tested with. We have my secret Russian production site that's been running Samba for well over 18 months now, and through lots of trials and tribulations, but successfully. He doesn't like to talk about his company's name. And we have a few others. There are people who pop up and say they're running Samba 4, but as I don't hear much back from them, and I know there have been disasters in the last little while and things that don't work, I'm less, you know, I really trust this one site because I'm working regularly with the sysadmin who's having trouble and having a lot of success, but, you know, he's telling us about things that he needs to improve and doing a lot of work himself as well. We're getting good patches from him. We know it can run and can run long term, and which means we've found out things like password expiries and had passwords and machine account changes, and some of those things that only happen when actually running a site for quite a while, because it takes months for those things to time out and then go through and do their thing. So we're very confident that it can run with the right kind of sysadmin, the kind of person who doesn't mind getting down into the code if needed, or at least be able to, you know, get us GDB backtraces and work with us and upgrade to a new Git version. So I didn't get much interest out of the sysadmin miniconf last year in terms of people wanting to try Samba 4. So I was wondering, have you eliminated all your Windows clients? Or what are we not doing right that would help you to help us test Samba 4? And I got this question last year, and we thought about it a bit afterwards. No, we can't just go and bless this, what we've got is version 1.0, so that you can go and slip it into your production networks and under your boss's nose. If you can't then pull from the Git tree to fix the problems that you report, if you can't actually look in your boss's eye and say, by the way, we're testing this thing out, then it's probably not for you. It's I really don't need to be tarred with that, you know, that disaster. I really want to work with people who can work with us on fixing some of these issues and getting an amazing product for us all. because we're working hard at it. We're getting some really great results, but we do need people trying it out and finding out what things still need to be done. It's sometimes hard just to figure out where to put some of the effort of which new features are needed, and some of that comes from which software you're interoperating with. Question. Can we have the mic on? Yeah, it's on, but try it again.
It's on. Now it's on. What will be missing from your version 1.0? Like, what big feature set, or is it everything has to go at once for it to be useful?
We've got a bit of a list of things that we go towards a beta, and that's about as far as we're looking at the moment. The replication stuff that we're at the moment is a big part of things that we thought we were missing. I used to actually be willing to say, look, we'd beta it without replication. But then we got replication going, and then it's, oh, well, I'm not going to do it until it's done, because that's a really dangerous feature to leave half done. Other things that we're missing, I'm not really worried in terms of putting out some kind of a beta of the Active Directory daemon controller portions if the file server is in its current not great state and the printing's not there, because I want to be able to do a beta of those things. And we just need to make it clear as to what's that. It's not. We've talked in a blog that Jeremy posted recently about how we're trying to merge all these things back into one source code tree, but we may well, while we still have a bit of an independent release process for Samba 4, we might do a beta of the AD stuff. A lot of it's about stability. We've got stability of the database format, knowing that we can upgrade things properly, and we've recently gained some scripts that are helping us with that. We're one of, one of my administration friends has actually written a script to help move from an old provision of Samba to a new one, for example, when we added elements to the schema, and so it's handling that properly. And so those kind of things are helping us get towards a beta. And I'll have to look back over the list, and then it's just someone's gumption who's willing to actually say, okay, this one's going to be a beta. It's really easy to just keep on churning out alphas. You don't have to think. Anyway, so a few more questions, and I'm going to start the demo, which I have nicely rigged. So,
Andrew?
Yep?
When it does go 1.0...
Right there, yep.
How are we going to pitch this to our Windows people?
I'm hoping you'll be able to pitch it, for example, with the read-only DC stuff and saying that branch office that you weren't wanting to pay for the Windows license to put in, but the performance kind of sucks. Well, here's something fairly risk-free you can put on. You can just slip in here. And you know, and it won't break the network, but it'll just make this branch office a little bit faster while remaining secure. I think that'd be a good way to pitch it. I know there's that massive Unix Windows gulf in the sysadmins in so many large companies. That'd probably be the way in, I think. I would suspect you'd have to pitch it as something that's useful to them and low risk. But yeah, it'll be hard.
So I deal with somewhat absurdly large AD forests on the edge of the gear I run, well north of 100,000 users.
Mm-hmm.
Is static access to that data useful? Is potentially a feed from that data helpful in testing and scaling Samba? These being real ADs that are actively used, every single one of those users actually...
Well, I mean, any deployments or attempted deployments useful to find out about. I mean, we probably find that as soon as we try and sync in that many users, it just takes 6 hours and we've got problems. But that's something we, you know, if it's a serious site that's there, we need to fix those serious problems. Of course, your customer is not going to like us having the data, so
that's the thing. It would presumably have to be to an Australian private NDA
but just,
data. But
I think we'd mostly be interested in, you know, what didn't work and what did work and those kind of things. We can construct 100,000 users in a database if we need to.
But the difference is this is a real 100,000 in production actual use.
Yeah,
type
and
stuff,
some
th-
and
with
some
the
of the real complexities of the production as opposed to 100,000 users, but they're not in groups, for example.
Yeah.
Finding those real those realities could be useful.
Should Samba be used on a purely Linux network?
I've been trying to do that at home and didn't keep on putting it off. So let me just start my rig demo. I've scripted things up so as to avoid steps, avoid missing steps, because it just gets deadly. Okay, so it was about to run DC promo, but I stopped it. So, okay. So here we are doing a provision of Samba 4. Takes a little while, sets things up. And as soon as that's done, it's going to go and reset my virtual machine that I've got the Windows machine in. And then we're going to see this whole thing start. So some of these are some of the bits and pieces that go into it. We generate up a zone file, and that's what you see it restarting named at that point to get the zone file up. Okay, it's starting Vert Manager. Okay. Okay, so Windows is starting. We just need to wait for that to boot. Trish keeps on telling me I should be using VirtualBox because it's got, you know, perfect virtualization stuff, but I like running free software top to bottom when I can. Another question.
You mentioned you want people to start, you know, trying Samba 4 and whatnot. Is it safe to use Samba 4 in a 2003 domain, or do we need to have 2008 DC so we can run read-only?
The risk is that we could write some dodgy data back to the domain. And we haven't really seen too much of that, at least not in the current code. We have done it in the past. And so that's the risk. And we've now got the right filtering and things where we really shouldn't be writing objects back that we haven't touched. It really is a matter of making sure you really do actually have a backup of that domain in case we do screw it up, in which case you'll lose things that have changed and, you know, it's a mess. But it's a matter of your tolerance to risk. I can't tell you it's perfectly safe. It's very new code. But we don't believe it's overly dangerous. But at the moment, we've just been doing it in our testing domains. And I'd encourage you to start by grabbing a domain controller or adding a new Windows domain controller to your domain, then bring it into an isolated test network, cut off the wire to the internet, do not allow it anywhere near your existing network, and then try things out there. Because that way you know that at worst you just wipe the disk of that Windows DC and, you know, nothing's happened. And that gives you, that perhaps can allow you to test some things with the real data and with real read, write, back and forward without any risk of pollution into the rest of the domain. And then when you're happy that things are working well there, then you can just introduce it into the main domain. Keep using it. Try. Keep trying to use the mic, please.
There we go. On there. With 2008 read-only, would that be, like you said there before, that would be a safe way to deploy it then?
Yeah, well, as soon as we've got the 2008 read-only stuff, then Microsoft guarantees that we can't screw up the domain, or else it's a security bug, and then they really need to know about it. And they've asked that we tell them nicely. You know, because we'll be very carefully reviewing those algorithms and things when we go to implement it ourselves, so... But yeah, that should be safe, and if it's not, then it's a very serious issue on Microsoft's side that I hope would be addressed. Yep, and there's a question. I'll take the question at the back first.
The actual protocol that the server-to-server, the DC-to-DC replication uses, is that more or less secure than existing LDAP and Kerberos replication protocols?
The protocols, I don't think it's particularly more or less, as long if they were... The LDAP replication can be done very dodgily and very insecurely, but it can also be done securely, properly Kerberized in, connections and things. And once you've got it all wrapped in a Kerberos encryption, they're both about the same kind of security. I don't think there's sort of much difference between the two.
And are you actually doing validation of data you get from other servers, unlike AD?
Yeah, we do a bit of validation partly because we store our data in a different format to AD. And it's not possible to validate everything, we actually convert, if it comes across from AD and it says it's an integer, we convert it into an integer string in our database because our database is string-based. And that means that we do actually have to go through a bit of a validation step on all those things. And so we're probably more likely to notice things, which actually makes us a bit more vulnerable to, there could be just something plain weird in a real forest that we weren't planning on, and so our validation would then fail. Yikes, 10 minutes to go. Oh well, I'll have to quickly run this demo. That time flies. Okay, so let's quickly run in, log in, no. Try again. Okay, so in the background here I've got Samba running, and here I've got, we're just going to have to wait for it to log into Windows. I meant to do this while we're taking questions. One more question? Yep, up the front.
That 5 minutes that you were talking about for 1,000 users, that was to add them? That's the order of 1 every 3 seconds or so?
It was just that there were O to the 3 algorithms in there that aren't there anymore. So O n to the 3. There were just silly algorithms that we were using where adding each user was reallocating an index. There were 10 indexes that the user would touch, and each of them was being reallocated each time. And lots of n squared and n to the 3, and 1,000 to the 3 starts getting pretty big.
Yeah, sounds like it could be easily fixed.
Those issues were. And so now I'm just going to start here. DC promo. We don't need this screen quite so small. I was trying to make this work on a different resolution before. Okay, just a moment while that thing does its business. Other questions? Yep. Okay, so here we've just got to go through. This is the wizard that some of you will have seen before for joining an existing domain. And S4, I think that's right. Okay, so that's found the one domain. Examining the forest, found the site. We don't want it to be a DNS server because we mess with the DNS, but it can be global catalog. Okay. One of our challenges we had at one point is we didn't used to do that call. That actually goes to the server and asks, is this password strong enough? And we didn't implement that for a while. And then when we did, passwords like Samba weren't good enough. So that's going to go through. And this was the really hard bit for ages, not the group policy management, but changing the domain membership and syncing the objects. The number of times this wizard got run, the number of times that this would get partway and start looping and looping and looping, we spent a long time on what will disappear in only a few seconds. Took us months to get going, and a very, very hard week in Redmond to do a lot of the work. So we're almost done here, actually. With that, it's going to stop netlog on, and it will go through and sync in the data. We'll restart. I'll need to jigger with DNS, and then we will be able to hopefully see the data all replicated onto the Windows virtual machine, and also be able to see the replication, I hope. But just got to wait for it to finish doing this.
Question?
Yep.
So obviously, up until some point, you've spent a significant amount of time investigating protocols that Microsoft wrote several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's this court judgment or whatever it was that mandated that they must interact with you, mm-hmm. which is fantastic. Does that extend to developing protocols in tandem with your team?
No.
Okay.
No, there's no requirement that Microsoft actually plays by internet norms and actually works to. As far as I know, Jeremy's much more an expert on this, but no, we simply get to be the receiver, and we will just continue to hear about changes that have been made, and so. And we get to hear about them in about the beta level. There's a requirement that within a week of a beta that they must have the docs or something. No, we don't get. We're not yet able to collaborate with them on actually. I don't know why this is taking so long. Demo may well have not worked for this time. That's sadly. I've got some ideas. I'd love to see some of these protocols improved in particular ways, but I've had no indication that we'll be able to actually collaborate on that. They do on more standard internet protocols like Kerberos and things, they're starting to play nice, but things that they've developed in-house so far, I've seen no sign of them going and asking the community about.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so we're synchronising in the objects after taking a very long time to... Okay, we've got the schema across, we're trying configuration, there's three containers to bring across, and we used to have this fail even getting the schema across. and then getting the configuration it would fail. So each of these steps, and then actually having this thing finish, is something that has only really started happening in the last few months. September was when we first had this all working to completion. That was against a domain where it started with Windows, and we've only recently, in the last few weeks, had this work with a domain that started just from Samba. And so now it just goes through and does a bit of local security, and we'll be able to shut down. Other questions? As I quickly run my clock to zero.
You mentioned that Samba 4 won't use the clustered TDB backend for obvious reasons as a DC, but when Samba 4 gets out the door, people wanting to run just clustered file servers, not domain controllers.
The clustered file server functionality is not going to go away. None of the things that Samba does is likely to go away anytime soon. They're all there for a reason. And so the file server that's been very well written to do that will remain. And I mean, there's commercial products based on this stuff, and people paying to have it developed. There's no reason that will go away. We have a hard time as a team working how we're going to juggle these things together, but there's no particular reason why one means the other. Okay, so we've finished that. I now need to just jigger with DNS for a moment. We just this little very nice hack from Tridge goes through and generates up a zone file based on looking up the host with NetBIOS. But it works. Okay. And we've got a question, did I hear? Okay, restart Windows. This shouldn't take long.
In light of that last question, is Samba 4 going to be different as a, ignoring its AD functionality, is different as a file server from Samba 3 in any way?
The way that we try and merge in the Samba 3 and Samba 4 branches and things is we've posted some things in a blog recently about our aims for that. The process for how that's all going to happen is a very long and quite painful business that we will work out inside the team. There's no plan to arbitrarily drop functionality and things. There's a lot of use of the Samba file server, and the use cases that people have got there aren't going to go away, and we're still going to have code to support that.
I'm more asking if there's anything new in Samba 4 as a file server.
New in Samba 4's file server? It's actually got most of the better bits of that, I think, ended up being, because there were some innovative technologies were shown there, I think have been brought across to Samba 3. I expect that anything more that people actually find interesting in real world uses will, someone will re-implement. It's only code. And once you demonstrate it working once, then it's pretty easy to implement in another context. So. About the only thing Samba 4 does that's particularly interesting in the file server space that's not done elsewhere is that it has a SIFS proxy that some people have worked on. So pulls apart the SIFS protocol right to the basics and puts it back together again. And there's some people working on accelerator code based on that. And so I hope we can keep enough of that Samba 4 alive for that project. But yeah. So I think my time is almost up, and my Windows machine is almost restarted. Let's see if it decides to live.
We do have about 10 minutes until next talk, so if you want to take more questions.
Okay, we'll see if Windows can reboot. I don't know, it's a fairly fresh image. It's not looking happy, is it? Oh well. Well, I do have that. It's just kill the virtual machine, but it got grumpy when I last did that. As you might. Other questions while we wait patiently for Windows to catch up with reality? No other questions? Force off. Die. Try again. We'll see if this works this time. Okay, that's looking a little healthier, I think.
Have you done much testing against Windows 7 clients?
Windows 7 clients, yes. I join Windows 7 clients to Samba domains fairly regularly, and that seems to work. They did change a few things, but we've got that going. That seems to work pretty well. Samba 3 domains of current versions run with a couple of registry keys set. We've got Windows 7 fairly well covered. As well as we can manage with each product. The Samba 3 can only be an NT4 domain controller, and that gives limits, but it seems to work quite nicely with Samba 4. I actually tend to like it as a virtual machine. You know, they really removed a lot of the heavyweight out of it. It's about as fast to start as XP compared with Vista, which was an absolute bog to run in virtual machines. Okay.
So please forgive me. We run an Exchange backend, and our Windows guys tell us that Exchange is heavily reliant on Active Directory.
Mm.
Have you tested with Exchange?
I haven't tested with Exchange recently, but a lot of work has gone on to support the Exchange schema for some other. There's a proprietary alternative to Microsoft Exchange called PostPath that Cisco happened to have acquired, and so there's people have worked on making sure we can extend Samba's schema to cope with that, for example. And so that's the big thing that does, and then I'll start running a real Exchange against it someday to try and test things out. Because that's really important to be able to keep running Microsoft Exchange. If only against a local, perhaps it's a Windows replica that's kept close to the Exchange box, but we've got to at least be able to cope with all the data and things.
One of the things that it actually introduced was a new interface for managing users and mailboxes. So, mm-hmm. One of the things when you're building your user interface will be a necessity to write to those new interfaces that Exchange requires.
So here I am logging in with the username and password from the domain that we just vampired from, and so it recognises that as local usernames and passwords. The need for UI and things, we don't have much UI at all, but yes, we need to be able to deal with those attributes, and we also can just work with the Active Directory users and computers and MMC APIs and things as if we're a Windows server. So that allows a bit of a transition where existing tools should continue to work against Samba even though you've swapped out some of your domain controllers. Okay, any other questions? Anyway, I'm slowly logging in and I should be able to bring up MMC and we should be able to see a couple of things. But I think we're also rapidly running out of time.
The purpose of the Samba project, is it exclusively interoperability with Windows? Or do you actually add some of the features that do not exist on the Windows counterpart?
Yeah, I don't have any objection to adding things that don't exist in Windows, but as long as it's not in conflict with things, as long as we're not going to break other things. For example, my hope at some point is to support, for example, the password change set control that OpenLDAP uses. It's a lot nicer way of setting passwords than the way Windows does over LDAP. I don't see any reason not to support that, to make it a little easier to integrate into Unix networks where that's what the spam LDAP would prefer to deal with. So I don't mind a little bit of extension where it's standard and where we're not being gratuitous about it. We just have to be careful. So we can start up Active Directory. No, it didn't. It really doesn't like me doing that. When I killed it halfway through the startup, it got very grumpy. So we're just going to have to leave that there. If I don't kill it halfway through startup, then it works. If I do, then it doesn't work. Anyway, that's where we're at. And that's the end of the demo. Bye. Okay, well, I think I probably should leave a bit of time for the next speaker to get up here.